Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, which can be sent to your home by request at chapel@mountzion.org. chapel@mountzion.org. That's their email. Write them an email and say that you'd like to receive the Free Grace Broadcaster every quarter, and they will send it to you to your home. This is the Winter 2019 edition. The whole edition is given to self-examination, and there are various preachers and teachers that talk about it. Today we're going to hear from Jonathan Edwards, who lived from 1703 to 1758. You probably know the name. He's involved with that great revival of that century. American congregational preacher and theologian, born in Connecticut, or what was the Connecticut colony at that time. Jonathan Edwards, Before the Lord's Supper is the name of the article. And he quotes 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Persons ought to examine themselves of their fitness before they presume to partake of the Lord's Supper, lest by their unworthy partaking they eat and drink damnation to themselves. There are some qualifications that make a man so unfit that there is no encouragement in the Word of God of any benefit to such an attendant. It is utterly against the mind and will of God that such should come bringing these unfitnesses with them. Therefore, before he comes to this ordinance, a man ought to examine himself with respect to these following things. First, whether or not he lives in any known sin. Those persons that live immoral lives, whatever immorality it is that is their practice, that live in the customary indulgence of any lust whatsoever, they're utterly unfit to come to the holy ordinance of the Lord. If the sin that he lives in is of commission or omission, and if it be allowed and known, then he comes unworthily, if he comes. It makes him unfit. Whether the sin that he lives in be lesser or greater, yet if against the habitual light of his conscience he comes to the Lord's table before he forsakes it, he is an unfit and unworthy partaker. Such persons had 1,000 times better stay away than come. For such persons to come to the Lord's Supper is an abominable profanation of the ordinance. It is a defiling of the temple of God and the sacred things of it. As of old, those that were legally unclean were not allowed to come to the Passover or to eat of the sacrifices. And so neither are men that live in wicked practices of any kind allowed to come near to the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper. God doubtless has as much care that this sacrament of the New Testament should not be defiled as he had that the temple and altar and sacrifices and feasts of old should be kept pure. Unclean persons were very strictly forbidden of old to come near. And so those that are thus unclean by allowed wickedness are no less strictly forbidden to approach to the ordained sacred signs of the body and blood of Christ. Second, a man ought to examine whether or not it be his serious resolution to avoid all sin and live in obedience to all known commands as long as he lives. Whether he now be in the practice of any known ways of sinning or not, yet if he has a design of sinning hereafter, or if he doesn't explicitly design it, yet if he stands ready to commit sin as occasions offer, not having any resolutions against it, having never come to any determination of mind of truly endeavoring to do everything that he ought to do, and of avoiding whatever he ought not to do, he's not fit to come to the sacrament, as will evidently appear presently. Therefore, persons before they presume to come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, ought to examine themselves strictly as to this matter, whether they be, that be their determination, to avoid as long as they live all known sins and to set themselves to walk in a way of obedience. But third, a man should particularly examine himself before he comes to the Lord's Supper to see whether he entertains a spirit of hatred, envy, or revenge towards his neighbor. If a man has such a spirit towards any of his brethren and does not disallow it, but from time to time acts upon it, maintains such a spirit and disposition towards him and gives vent to it, it renders him unfit to attend the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And if he does not first draw up a resolution to lay it by and no more to allow it, he eats and drinks unworthily. Such a spirit in a man renders a man unfit and makes the ordinance void to him, in the same manner as having leaven in a house rendered the Passover void. Leaven typified any wickedness, but especially malice and hatred. It fitly represented this by reason of its sourness. The apostle calls malice leaven and directs us to keep the Christian feast without this leaven, as they formerly kept the Passover without leaven. 1 Corinthians 5:8, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Here, both wickedness in general or any practical wickedness, any wicked practice, and malice in particular are mentioned as being in the Christian feast, as malice was of old in the Jewish feast of the Passover. Persons, therefore, should particularly examine themselves whether or not they have forgiven their enemies, those that have done them any hurt, so as to allow of no wishing of any hurt to them, and especially so as never to design to do anything to gratify a revengeful disposition towards them. If men have quarrels one with another, they should see to it to put an end to them before they come to the Lord's Supper. If they come together to the table of the Lord, maintaining their quarrels one with another, and indulging a contentious spirit, a spirit of hatred, they eat and drink unworthily. Persons should particularly examine themselves whether they have any sincere disposition and desire to these things that are the main designs, ends, and benefits of their profession. Fourth, persons ought to examine their aim in coming to the Lord's Supper, whether any of those ends for which the ordinance was appointed be what they aim at in coming, or whether it be only and altogether something else that Christ had no respect to in appointing of it. The ordinance was appointed for the spiritual good of the partakers. Therefore, if those that come do not seek that in it, and it is not from any desire of their spiritual good or from any conscientious regard to God's command that they come, but only for some end, some temporal advantage or credit, well, then they eat and drink unworthily. Thus did the Corinthians, of whom the apostle speaks in the text. What moved them to come to the sacrament was not that they might commemorate Christ's death according to his institution, or that they might obtain spiritual good, but to nourish their bodies and gratify their sensitive appetite, not discerning the Lord's body. Persons should examine themselves with respect to those things, that they may not eat and drink damnation to themselves. They that come with this unfitness or in this unworthy manner, all the while living in known sins, or having never truly resolved against living in such sins, or harboring a spirit of hatred, ill will to their brethren, or aiming at nothing else but only some end perfectly alien from the design of the ordinance, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. That is to say, their eating and drinking does but much the more expose them to eternal damnation and seals that damnation. Those that worthily partake eat and drink eternal life. That is, their eating and drinking will be profitable to their souls and tend to their salvation, and the promise of eternal life is sealed to them. But those that eat and drink unworthily eat and drink their own damnation. That is, by their eating and drinking, they do greatly expose themselves to damnation and seal their own damnation. Reasons. Because coming after such a manner is horrid contempt of the ordinance and the things signified in it. To come and pretend to eat Christ's body and blood, and they want you to know here that Jonathan Edwards did not believe in the literal body and blood of Jesus, that this was a sign, a signal, a symbol. But to come and pretend to do that is to, and to dare allowedly in the meantime to continue in their wicked practices, to bring them into the presence of Christ, to the communion of his body and blood, shows a great contempt of it. If a person should be invited to a prince's table and should willfully and allowedly come with his garments all over defiled with ordure, filth, excrement, it would show a great contempt of the prince and what he was invited to. And so it shows a great contempt of the ordinance and of Jesus Christ and his body and blood to improve it only for some temporal design and aim. Such persons are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. They make themselves mere murderers of Christ. Those that stood by when Christ was crucified and showed that they made a light matter of it and had treated the body of Christ when dying or dead contemptuously and with indignity, it might justly be imputed to them as partaking in his murder. So those that contemptuously treat those symbols of the body of Christ slain and his blood shed, and why, they make themselves guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, that is, of murdering it. There are two ways of eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. One is eating and drinking for spiritual food and nourishment, as the worthy partakers do. Another is eating the body and drinking the blood as a wild beast eats his prey. They do, as it were, drink the blood of Christ out of a murderous bloodthirstiness. They eat his flesh, as Job says the men of his tabernacle said of him that they long to be revenged on. Oh, that we had of his flesh, Job 31:31. And this is to eat and drink as the murderers of Christ might be metaphorically said to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ. That is, a prey to their malice. Unworthy partakers. They are partakers with those murderers. They are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. They eat and drink their own damnation because they therein expressed such a contempt of that which is their only remedy from damnation, that is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They that in eating and drinking do receive and embrace Jesus Christ, they eat and drink their salvation because they receive the Savior. But they which in eating and drinking do but trample on Christ, and as it were spit in his face, eat and drink their damnation because they cast this indignity upon the only means of their salvation. Well, the use of this doctrine is to warn all persons carefully to examine themselves before they come to the Lord's Supper, that they do not seal their own damnation. If you would not, as it were, consign yourself over to Satan, be careful to examine yourself before you come to the Lord's Supper. And if there be any that have hitherto neglected this duty of self-examination before they come, let them no more neglect it. And if there be any that live in any wickedness that have not taken up a resolution, let them by no means approach until they have. If upon self-examination you find yourself unfit in these respects, it will not excuse you from coming. One wickedness does not excuse you, though it is true if you will continue, you'd much better stay away than come. But the end of examination is that you may amend before you come. If there be any now about to approach that are in any of these mentioned ways of wickedness, I forewarn them in the name of Jesus Christ not to presume to touch until they have taken up a resolution. If you live in any known way of wickedness, do not come here to eat and drink damnation to yourselves. Amen. Can you imagine that sermon being preached to you on a Sunday when you're about to partake of communion? I think you would think twice before you grabbed for that cup and that little piece of bread. Yeah. Jonathan Edwards, 18th century. Thank God for him. I have a lot of other people like this on the website. Would you go looking around the website and see what you can find? You'll find, go to the word series down, two-thirds of the way down the page, that main page that you're on there. Look for sermons by series, and you'll see scores of series of things that we've put together. Different men and their life stories in many cases, their preachings in other cases. And we've got a lot of things about North Korea to get you praying about that nation. We've got a Through the Bible course. Several times we go through the Bible on different things. I have studied the Quran and found it wanting. I've got a study on that also there on online. Muhammad also. You'll find a lot of good things, I believe, that will bless your life. I trust that you will anyway. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.